Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 2, I was talking about Satan as the god of this world and the king of the fallen angels. Let's continue with that thought today. Second Corinthians 5:21 tells us that about the bruising of the heel of Jesus, because that's what happened when his heel came down upon the head of Satan that day on the cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. In other words, our sin was placed upon him, and then God the Father poured out all his God wrath on his human spirit, on the human spirit of Christ. Even though it was his only begotten Son, Isaiah 53 tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Because God's attitude about sin did not change even when it was his only begotten Son. But praise the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord. Jesus paid it all. And now ours is to accept that payment through repentance towards God. We've sinned against him in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice in our place, his death, his burial, and his bodily resurrection. Now, man lost his position of being head over all the creation here on earth due to sin. But listen, the paradise we lost is regained in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. We will one day rule and reign with him throughout all eternity. And that's the great thing about it. So, with that backdrop, let's begin looking now here in this text. We see the dwelling and the feeding of the lion here in verse 11. Let me read verse 11 again for you. Where's the dwelling of the lions? And the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lion's whelp had none made them afraid. None made them afraid. Wow, just think about that. Satan is a roaring lion. He goeth about seeking whom he may devour, the Bible tells us. And seeing that he is the God, little g, of this world, his dwelling is here in this world. For us today, the lion is called the king of beasts. And consequently, Satan is the god of this world. He is the king of all fallen angels. We find in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, this statement, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, the stars of heaven is referring to the angels, and drawing a third part of them, that means that Satan was able to have at least one third of the angels who followed him when he fell and was cast out. But the world is not only his dwelling place, the world is the feeding place for this roaring lion. Now, I find it interesting that one third of the angels followed him. They should have feared. They should have feared having known the Lord God, having seen his faith, but they did not. That's why angels cannot be saved. They can't have faith because they've already seen him. You and I can have faith because we have not seen him. But we accept it by faith. Now, the Bible teaches us some interesting things about that old serpent, the red dragon, the devil, as God calls him in Revelation chapter 12. Now, we're going to kind of digress just a little bit from our text here in Nahum to give you an idea about who this old serpent, Satan, the devil, is, okay? And so please turn to, if you're able to at home, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 16. And there we read, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Now, let me just give you some backdrop. Here in Ezekiel chapter 28, he's been talking about the king of Tyrus, but then all of a sudden, this is metaphorically talking about Satan. And so, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Hill, iniquity was found in thee. The multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Now, in this passage, again, that's Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 16. Verse 13, we learn that all the beautiful jewelry, and he listed there, sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, gold, and all the other ones there that are listed. Evidently, Satan was in charge of heaven's jewelry. Well, that's important. You see, we know by Revelation chapter 21, the streets of heaven are pure gold. As a matter of fact, so pure, as it were, transparent glass. Now, if you have your Bible open to Ezekiel chapter 28, I'm going to ask you to stay there, but also or keep a finger there, as we preachers often say in there, but we go to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, which is the second to the last chapter of the Bible. And listen as I read verses 10 through 23. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain." Now, this is the mountain of God that he's talking about in Ezekiel. "And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." This is that city that he told the disciples that he went to prepare a place for them. It's that city that when Abraham was on this earth that he sought, whose builder and maker was God. Okay? In verse 11 there of Revelation 21 says, "Having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And now let me just insert here. At verse 16 of 12,000 furlongs, that would be somewhat similar to the distance between Denver, Colorado, and the Atlantic Ocean. So that means that it was 12,000 furlongs that wide, that distance wide, that distance deep, and that distance high, because it's four square. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. That is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Okay, so we see the walls are of jasper, and the city as pure gold, likened to clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, a sardonyx, the sixth, a sardius, the seventh, a chrysolite, the eighth, a beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, and the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Gates made of pearl weren't made of many pearls. It was, each gate was of one pearl. And you've seen how high the walls were, 144 cubits. My friend, as an old preacher I heard one time preach, would say, that's big. And then he goes on to say, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, the glory of God lightens it? Well, let's think of that. As with Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, that is, seven times the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their womb.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will